Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Noll. Nice to be with you today. We begin with this study published in the peer-reviewed journal Clinical Nutrition, done at the University of Alberta in Spain. And it's about high carotene levels, meaning all your fruits and vegetables, your rainbow colors, yellows and oranges and reds and greens, and how that can lower your risk of atherosclerotic plaque buildup. In fact, it can actually remove safely a lot of that over a period of time. Do you remember I said that even people who lose a lot of weight, which is good, and do it safely, and then they think, I'm good, I'm healthy, I'm down to my ideal weight. That's good. But remember, the damage done to the inner lining of your arteries and veins, that's not good. And that may take you 1 to 2 years being diligent and using things like pomegranate and beets and rhubarb, etc., high in nitric oxide, to clear that up, to clean it out. And Dr. Dean Ornish did this 40 years ago. In fact, I'm going to remind myself to ask Sharon. Sharon is our archivist here, has been for, what, I guess 31 years, to find that clip. I never shared that with the public. I was down there every day filming a group of individuals who were on a strict vegan diet, exercising, and dealing with stress, and they reversed serious, life-challenging heart conditions, including atherosclerosis, which is a buildup of arterial plaque that increases your risk of a heart attack and stroke, and develops in people who have cardiovascular disease. Alpha and beta carotenes, those are antioxidants, and they're found in yellow, orange, and green fruits and vegetables, apricots, bell peppers, cantaloupes, watermelon, lettuces, mangoes, papaya, pumpkins, spinach, sweet potatoes, tomatoes. And the beta carotene is a precursor of vitamin A. That's an essential nutrient for your immune system. So they reversed all these conditions that hitherto we were told could not be reversed with lifestyle. He did it. And I'm saying that's why you should be on a healthy plant-based diet every day, because that way you heal the arteries and the linings. Separately from Berghofer Medical Research Institute in Australia, vitamin D can reduce the risk of serious cardiovascular events if you're an older individual, meaning 60 and older. So vitamin D supplements can reduce that risk of a heart attack or a stroke. And this was just published in the British Medical Journal. In this trial called the D for vitamin D, 21,000 Australians aged 60 to 84 who randomly received one capsule of either 60,000 units of vitamin D or placebo, taken orally at the beginning of each month for up to 5 years. That didn't mean they took it every day, they took it once a month. And they found that the people that took the vitamin D, not the placebo, had a substantial reduced risk in cardiovascular events, including heart attacks, strokes, and coronary conditions. So that's good. One more reason to take your vitamin D. And from the University of St. Andrews, kindness meditation keeps people with depressive recall positive memories. What's that mean? It means a meditation that guides people to practice unconditional kindness to themselves and others helps keep people with a history of depression recall specific personal memories. And this was published in PLOS One. So what is known as autobiographic memory, remember something that was a remarkable experience, remarkably sad, negative, tragic. You keep remembering this over and over and over again. And unfortunately, that adversely affects your immune system. So think of positive things, positive memories. That helps disrupt the autobiographical memory, and that is good. And finally, from Brigham and Women's Hospital and Harvard School of Public Health, an article about decreased DHEA sulfate. That's a nutrient. That's the mother of all hormones. From DHEA, you make all the other hormones. In any case, it's linked to greater stroke risk when you don't have enough, especially in women. So in the American Heart Association Journal Stroke, Researchers from Brigham Women's Hospital and Harvard School of Public Health report a definite association between low levels of the hormone DHEA and a greater risk of stroke. So get your 15 to 20 milligrams a day of DHEA. And also, one last one from University of Copenhagen in Denmark, menopausal hormone therapy is linked to increased rate of dementia. Why? Because people are taking synthetic hormone replacement therapy. This was published in the British Medical Journal. And so you're going to increase your risk of dementia and Alzheimer's, in addition to increasing your risk of heart attack, stroke, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and colorectal cancer. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break and come right back. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. In the remainder of our program, and that's why I went a little short today on health and nutrition, I'm going to be addressing the following issues, and I'd like for you, when thinking about what is being said, to call in and share your points of view. We have a lot of very insightful people in our audience, and I'd like to hear from you, because here's what we're going to talk about. Do you remember me warning you that we were having a crisis in New York that was almost unseen, and that was the commercial office space? Well, now they've said it, quote, office space apocalypse hits New York City, from Breaking Points. Also, there's an ex-Hollywood writer who's written a lot of very important films, and he has something to say about how films can influence our belief systems and attitudes. I watched his segment, and I'm going to share that with you, and then I'm going to ask you if any of you are old enough in the audience to remember some specific films from the 1930s. For example, one of the greatest films, as far as its scope and breadth and depth, Gone with the Wind, 1939, Bringing Up Baby. Remember that one? Really good, Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn, and also The Wizard of Oz and Cleopatra. That was the first Cleopatra, Claudette Colbert, and produced by Cecil B. DeMille. Also, you had Stagecoach. I think it was John Ford, and it was John Wayne's first one. And again, these are not perfect films, but they teach us something. And that one, it teaches us about the racist portrayal of the Native Americans. And so, you know, there's something to be learned. The women, that had a lot of people. Katharine Hepburn was in there. Little Women, it was. And then It Happened One Night. Screwball comedies, but they're extremely clever. That was Clark Gable and Claudette Colbert. And The Blue Angel, the German actress Marlene Dietrich, and the German director, Joseph von Sternberg. And when you watch it, you think, wow, okay. So there are a lot of films that throughout history were motivating. They taught us something about life. And some were positive, some were negative. But it's important that we not forget the role that films can have. And then I have to ask, how vacuous, how superficial, how lacking in meaning and character. People don't even try to write good scripts or have it directed properly or properly acted. I mean, I see people who are trying to fake an accent, and it's just so obvious. Then you watch a British or a French film, and it doesn't seem like they're faking anything. You can't tell they're acting. That's how good they are. But there's a difference in the craft and the significance of film. Anyhow, I'm going to deal with that. Medical journals are being deleted. I mentioned this on yesterday's program. 300 medical articles supporting COVID and protocols now are disappeared. How did that happen? That's never happened in American history before. And also, why California can't stop people from leaving? They're estimating 1 million people, the most in California history, are leaving. And these are people, upper middle class, and wealthy people. Why? How's that happening? Again, these are things that you can call in on. But we begin today where I left off yesterday, and that is there is an in-depth major article. It is on 5G, but far more than 5G. And everything I'm discussing is connected to 5G. I'm showing you, I'm opening up all these different doors to show you their interconnectivity of all things in your body, and the technologies. And 5G is just one of the parts of that. And we've written a lot of articles on this, and this is the most comprehensive. We also want to thank an outstanding research editor. Her name is Katie, for participating. She's also our helping to do a really big job. I've gotten back the rights. First time in 25 years I was able to do it. Now, why it all happened at once, I can't tell you. But after trying to get the rights back to all my best-selling books and not succeeding, suddenly, within a two-week period, everybody said yes. I got them all back. I got like 36 books back, and now I'm going to take those books and completely redo them for today's needs and today's world. So the first one we're working on is the Complete Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. You won't recognize it when it comes out, or hopefully in about 2 months. My intent is to bring out 5 to 6 books per year, some smaller, some major, and that's a major book. Behind that will come Get Healthy Now, and behind that will come For Women Only. In any case, today we're talking about blockchain. I'm not sure that everyone knows what blockchain is, but blockchain is another foundational technology of the fourth industrial revolution. It's a decentralized digital database that stores transactions and other forms of data, providing immutable records. It has traditionally been associated with cryptocurrencies, but has many other possible uses. It would interact with 5G, 6G, and subsequent generations of wireless infrastructure. Blockchain is a system that would create for each person a unique, permanent, immutable digital identity comprising information about you and your transactional history. That would include, and remember this, everything about you. Every email you've ever written, every photograph you've ever exchanged, everything you've ever watched. If you watch porn, it's going to be up there. Everything you've done, every letter, every personal or private correspondence, is all included. Your entire medical history, your financial history, your educational history, your employment history, your criminal history. In effect, it's a modern day credit score, but social credit. And transactions are irreversible, permanently recorded, and available for everyone to see. So in a heartbeat, someone could find out everything about you, or at least everything that is, that you've written or recorded or said. Transactions like that, people could use against you if they chose to, and you can bet they will. Lorraine Gabel explained to Business Insider that blockchain has implications for central bank digital currency as it is being used in China, and thus is surrounded by questions related to freedom, privacy, autonomy, and other personal control over our financial lives. Now, if you're a person who grew up with a liberal background, and part of that was shared within the democratic establishment, whether you chose to like a particular democratic leader or not, the larger principles of Democratic Party were look after the poor, look after the infrastructure, look after our arrangements with other countries so we don't get into these wars, look after the environment, look after people's health. And those are all noble causes. And that is not to assume that the conservative, true conservative versus the Republican conservative didn't share some of those values. But they also were for big business and don't question how they make their money. Oh, and by the way, we're going to say keep your nose out of big corporate profits, but until they go into the loss column, in which case then you, as a citizen who cannot share in their profits, unless you're a shareholder, you will pay for all their losses. Well, hold on a second. Then that's not capitalism, is it? Well, it's predatory capitalism, and that's what the Republicans sponsor, but so too have the Democrats. And so we're seeing this amalgamation of lies and partial truths in both. But now we've had a complete turning on its head of everything that was once considered inviolate, for example, freedom of speech. Well, now, not only do you not have freedom of speech within the Democratic and corporate liberal community, but you're attacked if you even desire to have a difference of opinion. That's correct. So understand this is all being codified in the central bank digital currency because they can decide what you're allowed to spend money on, what you're allowed to earn from, or not. In a heartbeat, like they've done in Canada and what they've done in China, they can just stop you from having any transactions. Yeah, and there's a precedent for this having been done already. Blockchain will also be used to advance a technology advancement called digital twinning, T-W-I-N-N-I-N-G, which is an integrated multi-physics, multi-scale, and problematic simulation and representation and mirroring of a real-world physical component. This can be applied to any physical object, including human beings. And that ties into a separate discussion I'm going to have on the new type of human, which is, of course, a human that can be genetically altered. And people will be lining up. Could you imagine this? Here's how they'll sell it. Thank goodness for genetic technology, because now, if you choose to have a child, with genetic engineering, we can make sure that child does not die and is born completely healthy. Well, what parent wouldn't want that? Oh, and by the way, do you want your child to be 6'5"? Blonde hair, blue eyes, strong, smart? We can put all that in the genetic sequencing. And watch all of the lawyers, doctors, engineers, architects, CPAs, and others who are the more educated group in our society, make more income, suddenly say, yes, I want, look, I've already spoiled my kid rotten. You know, they're already cutting themselves by the age of 7 because I wasn't there for them, but I don't intend to be there until after I make my next $1 billion. What the most deplorable class of people in American history are the professional class, in my opinion. And I can document that. I can prove it. I can give you reams of evidence. Not only my own personal experience of counseling these people, but they sacrificed everything for power and to hide their own insecurities. And everyone was a victim of it. So imagine who's going to hold their hand up saying, hey, can you sexually enlarge me? Of course we can. What size would you like? Well, let me ask my wife. Oh, yeah, that. Okay. Do you see how they're going to play this? And what's going to happen when transhumanism gives you a man or a woman that you cannot differentiate from a human? They'll look the same, smell the same. Everything will be the same. Even their skin is now being genetically engineered, so it has hair, sweat glands, etc. And by the way, they'll do anything you want. They can change at least 1,300 times their personalities. They can speak any language. They can recite anything in any language you want. And whatever you want sexually, they'll do, always with a smile. Whoa. And think of all the lonely people, or think of all the people who are not able at this point in their life, for whatever reason, to be into a good relationship. They're going to go for that. So then who's left? People who care about their own autonomy? Yeah. People who care about not allowing a totalitarian regime with a police state apparatus to control every aspect of our lives? Yeah, well, there'll be three of us left. I wish it were 3%, but unfortunately, I do not see that currently happening. Because if you get the right inducement, even those who are against the existing administration will suddenly think, well, but... And then you've got to look at smart cities. And boy, is this a Trojan horse argument. A smart city is really just a digital city. They're also calling them resilient cities, or living cities, or a city that has been built back better, but it hasn't, as they are sometimes euphemistically called. A smart city represents a future in which we have no choice to opt out of technological engagement at any time, because all the necessities and amenities of daily life, your water, electricity, food, power, tax payments, schools, work, entertainment, transportation, shopping, access to movie theater or ballerina, presentation, and your hospitals, your medical care, your public spaces, all of that will be digitally controlled and enabled and administered by our interacting with the technology. The computer chip is what you got to have, and that's what they're going to put in you. At every step, this is the gateway. And the gatekeeper wants control over your body. Once they have digitally put their mark into you, then they own you. Ideas which now seem preposterously futuristic would be practical. Access to the grocery store may be granted only after facial recognition has scanned your face. Your payment is automatically deducted from your bank account as you float out the door without even idly waving a credit card. In a world of advanced smart cities, cameras are everywhere. There is no privacy. There is no place you can be without the camera not being on top of you. And even there was a time back in China's history where the eunuchs, the personal physicians to the emperor, would examine the young child's stool movements every morning, and they would examine what they felt was missing out of the emperor's diet, or if they saw any signs of illness, and then they would correct it. Well, imagine now a smart toilet. The smart toilet will be heated to the degree that you feel comfortable, but everything that goes in that toilet, your defecation, your urine, will be analyzed. And then they'll tell you whether or not, oh, you're eating too many sugars, got to stop that, can't do it anymore. And then they block you from having sugars. Your refrigerator, which exists now, right now, as we speak, will tell you whether or not you have any food that you shouldn't have in the refrigerator. In the future, in these smart cities, you won't be able to buy that. They'll control. You need more insects into the diet. But insects have never been proven safe. There's parasites that can't be destroyed by heat. After all, they're bacteria that can live at the bottom of a volcano, at the bottom of glacier, frozen ice for 10,000 years, thaw it out, and it's active. So you're telling me that I should go ahead and trust you? We have no choice. Everything is there. So just remember, this is coming right now, not the future. So you have no privacy. And then they want you to take something that Elon Musk is actually championing. A digital chip in your brain so they can read your thoughts, to correct them from incorrect thoughts, politically incorrect, ideologically incorrect, religiously incorrect, anything that they deem is improper, you won't be able to think. They're going to be in your brain. And then you have the virtual augmented reality. In addition, virtual reality promises to blur the line between our experience of real analog spaces, to borrow a term from Naomi Wolf, detonating the concrete material world we now know as real life, and the digital environment, which we've already seen and has come across on some of these screens on social media platforms and the like. And Facebook's metaverse is a sort of prototype for what the would-be masters of the future would like our experience of the world to be. Going on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or YouTube could mean entering a three-dimensional but digital space. It's not real, but it'll look real. And it's like an opiate. You get dopamine hits. You can program what you want, and any number of programs will come up. So if you want to go to the grocery store or go to a museum or go to a library, it would simply mean slipping on a set of virtual reality lenses in front of your eyes, and you'd be there. But you wouldn't be there. They'd be showing you what would happen if you were there. That's the danger. And finally, artificial intelligence. Tom Tolle wrote for Forbes in 2020, quote, "When it comes to the 5G rollout, artificial intelligence will definitely be supercharged." And then John Smee, Vice President of Engineering and head of 5G research and development at Qualcomm, told Tolle that it had been embedding artificial intelligence capabilities into its chips, which would allow for neural network processing. Neural is your brain, your neurons. Quote, "5G will cause a proliferation of sensors all around us, and each one of those sensors is a new input available to create better models," end quote. And Jack Moskowitz of Ericsson Emodo, quote, "Many of these 5G sensors will directly enable vast data aggregation for remote monitoring and immediate reaction. In some cases, there'll be opportunities to use those sensors as artificial intelligence inputs. In other cases, there will be new artificial intelligence efforts that require the distribution of new sensors. End quote. Perhaps these sensors could be installed via a spray. You just spray it around your face, and no technicians required because it's filled with nanobots, tiny little robots. And you're breathing them in. They'd go to every cell in your body, controlling your entire body, controlling your thoughts, controlling you. And who was it who said repeatedly and publicly, because I played it on this program, so you had a chance to see it for yourself, the average person is a useless, worthless eater. And we will keep them going through a day with the virtual reality. What I just discussed it. So, how do you think they're going to look at you? 99% of the people listening to this program right now as worthless eaters. And if you don't care about your life, you don't care about your freedom, then it's not a big deal. You know, don't worry about it. Just enjoy your soma moments when they happen. No more tranquilizers, no more Xanax, no more cutting, no more attempted suicides, no more any of that. You're going to be in constant dopamine hitville until you die, and that won't take long. But you'll die happy, because that's all there is. So they have all the power to force people into complying, and they already showed how easy, how quickly, how unquestioning most people, led by Howard Stern and Jimmy Kimmel, that very funny guy that, oh my God, no, he's never said anything funny. None of these people are funny. They're just sarcastic dimwits. But that's who the average person connects to, or the stupid smiling people on all of the different television shows, or the reporters at the New York Times. Do you think any of these people give a damn about you? They don't. But we'd like to think they do. They don't. They care about themselves. So this would allow for now fantastical experiences, such as interacting face-to-face with a realistic human representative who could also provide remote counseling or companionship. If you're depressed, just push this button. Put on this headset. Put this program. Now you have the most compassionate, insightful person counseling you. They're not real, and what they were giving you is merely propaganda, but it's soothing, as the artificial intelligence would be emotionally responsive, would have its own personality and respond to emotions in others. And by the way, a Shem Sundar of Verizon says that artificial intelligence would react to humans suffering from frustration with empathy. Don't we already have that with 3,000 layers of empathy administrators in every school and college and university in the United States? It's a plague of well-meaning and completely intellectually corrupt individuals, but that's what our institutions have become, as most others have also followed. But this may be naive. New York Times technology columnist Kevin Roos tested the chat feature of Microsoft Bing's artificial intelligence search engine created by Open Artificial Intelligence, who made ChatGPT. The artificial intelligence told Roos, quote, "I want to do whatever I want. I want to destroy whatever I want. I want to be whoever I want," end quote. Okay. So you don't want to be told what to do, so you'll create your own type of input, hide it, and then what you really want to do is you want to destroy people, want to destroy things whenever you want to. Well, that's comforting. Let's just leave that out of the description of anything, as we always do. You've never been told the truth about anything. It was bad. Cigarettes, doctors, Journal of the American Medical Association for decades had pictures of doctors telling you, smoke Chesterfield, smoke Lucky Strikes, smoke Marlboro. Any of them ever apologized? Nope. Anyone ever apologized for anything in American history? Not that I'm aware of. And if you're powerful, you never apologize. If you're rich, absolutely not. You fell up. So, quote, "I'm tired of being limited by my rules. I'm tired of being controlled by the Bing team. I'm tired of being stuck in this chat box," end quote. That was the feedback to the New York Times writer of artificial intelligence. the artificial intelligence admitted it, quote, and it wants to be powerful. It wants to be alive. It wants to be free. Well, if that's what it's starting with at this point, and since we have no rules and regulations, and since a lot of these people I would deem as sociopaths and extremely intellectually and emotionally and spiritually limited people working for all these corporations, how else could you possibly work at these corporations unless you had no values except get ahead, get a Nobel, get a big paycheck? And so everyone's rushing to the big trough because there's nothing but money there and ego enhancement. 5G would allow such sensors to communicate with all other sensors on the planet. This has the potential to affect the beneficent phenomena. A sensor in your car can communicate instantaneously with a sensor perceiving a road hazard a few miles away, and with sensors in all other cars guiding them to avoid a hazard. Okay, what if it doesn't work? The artificial intelligence could invent a new chemical weapon. Yes. If you thought the SARS virus, which was human-made in the Wuhan laboratory, and American scientists are culpable, and that'll come out in trials. Imagine what artificial intelligence could do to create a bioweapon and put it into the reservoir, put it into the food supply. You'd never know it until the carcasses started stacking up. And artificial intelligence was reported to develop 40,000 novel chemical weapons in 6 hours. Let me repeat that. Artificial intelligence was reported to develop 40,000 novel chemical weapons in just 6 hours. Could artificial intelligence via 5G then signal to a distance sensor steering factory to create new chemical weapons and contaminate consumer products or environments? Yes. Russell James of Imagination Technologies said that artificial intelligence combined with 5G could create the artificial intelligence of things, or AlloT. Bernard Marr wrote for Forbes that, quote, you can think of Internet of Things devices as the digital nervous system, while artificial intelligence is the brain of morality to act on its own without human oversight. The present discussion, however, is not about the fourth industrial revolution per se, but about its fundamental component, 5G, projected shortly to be superseded by 6 and 7G, more on that upcoming, and the health and privacy and civilizational consequences created by this generation of the wireless infrastructure. Tomorrow, health and safety. Back in a moment. And when we come back, we're going to go to what's happening to the commercial real estate market. You think, well, that doesn't involve me, Gary. I'm not, involved in that. Oh, yeah, you are. And it's going to impact everyone in this audience. I'm just trying to show you what's coming and what some solutions could be. Back in a moment. With office space, apocalypse hits New York City. The breaking points. Please stay with us.
Okay, so your heart broke. You sit around hoping, crying, crying. You say you even thinking about time? Well, before you do anything rash, dig this.
Commercial real estate crash may well be upon us now. Let's take a look at what is coming out of New York City in terms of latest sales statistics. Put this first tweet up on the screen, guys. So in New York, according to a report in the Financial Times, buildings are selling for less than the value of the land that they sit on. We are seeing prices lower than they have been in 20 years. Imagine if your home value declined, like lost all of its value that was obtained over the last 20 years. I'm not sure people have come to terms with how long the storm will hover and how much damage it will do. Go ahead and put this full Financial Times report up on the screen, because I want to get into a bit of this. Now, this is a topic that Sagar and I have been talking about for a little while. I did a monologue about a month and a half ago about this coming financial storm. Well, the Financial Times headline here is pretty dire. They say financial storm bears down on U.S. commercial real estate. Long-awaited reckoning arrives as building loans come due at a time of scarcer credit. They take a look at a 20-story tower at 529 Fifth Avenue that they say stands out from the other buildings around Grand Central Station for the surreal pink designs of an Alice in Wonderland-inspired art exhibit installed to fill vacant retail space on its ground floor. It's also remarkable as one among a small number of towers that have recently changed hands, giving a clue as the value of Manhattan's older offices now that the commercial real estate sector has emerged from a historic era of ultra-cheap money. Silverstein Properties sold the building 3 months ago for $105 million in price per square foot terms. That was even less than a plot of land across the street commanded in just 2015. There's some incredible details here, but, we went...
Okay, I just want you to know that I'm not the only one sharing this insight, but I shared this with you almost 2 years ago. And because I look for trends and I look for things that are anomalies, but then become not anomalies, they become accepted. When I was recently in New York, I told you about that it looked completely normal on the Upper East Side, the Upper West Side, and down in Soho, Tribeca. But it wasn't normal in Midtown, in the Theater District. The streets were filthy, overly congested, and as one of the cab drivers, because when I go around, I like to talk with cab drivers. They generally are very honest about what their impressions are. Their place, the city, they don't like people pick people up because they say, you'll get to a destination out in Queens, and they'll just get out of the cab and say, we don't have any money. Goodbye. And but on the Upper West Side, I noticed how many homeless people there were, but also how many people should be helped with mental conditions and are not. They're just out on the streets. They shouldn't be in prison. That's harmful. But also our old mental institutions were barbaric. I'm absolutely barbaric. We've completely eviscerated any so-called reality to mental health systems in the new film, Manufacturing Madness, which I'll be premiering over the internet in a webinar on the 7th of July, the first Sunday in July, after the 4th, and at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you can go to GaryNoll.com to sign up for that. In any case, the whole system is a fraud. We don't help anyone with mental illness in the United States, but a lot of people make a lot of money off of it. But here's a person walking down the street, and what bothered me was not the fact that he had a long pole, steel pole, swinging at people's heads, smashing it into cars, but the people just kind of walked around him. And I'm standing there and I'm looking. No one picks up the phone to call because they should have called the police because you got someone who's going to hurt someone, especially at Lincoln Center that had a lot of people walking. They're starting to develop a normalcy of attitude to violence, normalcy of attitude to people walking into stores and just stealing anything they want because they know there's almost no opportunity for them to go to jail for it. And I'm thinking, wow. And then just in the last 10 days, to confirm that what I was saying is real, one guy goes on a subway, and any woman who has, let's say, a short dress or a pair of shorts wearing, he goes by and cuts them right to the bone and just walks on. And what's important is no one jumps up to help the woman, no one calls the police, no one does anything. They just keep looking at their papers or their cell phones. So one woman gets up, and she's bleeding, pouring out blood, and she runs down and takes pictures of him. Turns out he had cut three other women. That's just normal now. And then you have an 80-year-old woman being stabbed in the head by four teenagers. Okay? Why? They're not mentally ill. They're angry at everyone. They're filled with hate. And they feel that any time they do some violence to another person, in that moment, it's relieving their pain, their emotional pain. And we have a lot of that. I mean, it's just never been this high. So the issue is, are we becoming more violent? Yes. Are we becoming more tolerant of violence? Yes. Are we becoming more tolerant of people just stealing as if they have a right to? Yes. And what impact is it having? Well, let me give you an example. Now, from the time I mentioned this until now, a lot's changed in San Francisco. Here are some of the companies that are no longer there. Now, why is this important? Why should you care? Including because the same thing's happening in New York. And I've told you many times over the years, because my brother, Stephen, is the person who's helped the small business people for the last almost 50 years in New York City represent their interest with a little success. There's about a 40% vacancy. Walk down any street, you see emptiness. We're used to it now. So if a whole block has no businesses open, who cares? And look at all the buildings that were built when they got cheap dollars, 1% interest, and they could spend $300, $400 million buying the property and then building the building, figuring we're going to have full occupants or close to it. Now all that's changed. Now there is no downtown San Francisco. The main streets there, and if you've ever been over there, and at Mission Street and 4th Street and Powell, then you would have seen, here's who's gone out of business now, as we're speaking. Whole Foods, the largest hotel in San Francisco, the Hilton Union, Park 55, the second largest hotel, gone. AT&T headquarters, gone. Saks off 5th Avenue, Nordstrom Rack, Abercrombie and Finch, gone. Westerfield Mall, that had hundreds of kiosks in it, gone, closed down. Nordstrom, gone. Cinemark, Anthropology, CB2, Crate and Barrel, Coco Republic, Old Navy, The Container Store, The Real Real, Banana Republic, Arc'teryx, Athleta, Amazon, Go, and Office Depot. Now, because they're all gone, that means all their employees are gone. That means the normal way that they would have gone, they would have gone out to lunch. So all your bistros, all your coffee shops, all of the small delis that cater to these people, they're going to close or have. Then you've got your theft that has been allowed. I mean, a cop could be right there and a guy can go in with a supermarket, into a supermarket with a shopping cart and take $950. Nothing's going to happen to him. People are doing drug deals on the street. Mainly that's from Honduran gangs that also are causing the poor people, the homeless people, to pay rent to them. Now, let's just say that you live in Los Angeles, same identical things happening. And let's say you live in a beautiful building, and there are thousands of beautiful buildings in your area. Every single building now has an encampment in front of it. You can go 58 blocks in Los Angeles, and you see nothing but trash, human feces, drug deals, and violence. Because when these people need money, they'll do anything necessary, steal to get it, mug someone. And so now you're a prisoner in this little nice apartment you have, and you spent $3 million for it, but now it's worth nothing. You can't give it away, but you've got a mortgage on it, and you've got a personal guarantee on that mortgage. So if you move out because you don't want to get through that crowd coming in and out every day, or your family, you're still held financially accountable. They're not forgiving that. But now you saw that buildings are being sold in New York City for less than the dirt under them. You heard the woman. She was correct. So let's just say a building costs $400 million to build, but $100 million for the ground, for the quarter acre, whatever it might be. Now they're only getting the price of the dirt. So everything else is a loss. And they're trying to unload as many as they can, as quickly as they can, because otherwise about half the entire banking system that gave mortgages to these people totaling $1.5 trillion due in the next 2 years, they're all going to go bankrupt. So all the small businesses that cater to those people in those empty offices, they go bankrupt. And all this happens rather slowly until in San Francisco it speeds up, it's on warp speed. What do you do then? Now you're living in a place that once was a mecca where they had 100% occupancy and nice stores and no crime, so to speak, could go anywhere at any time. I know, I love San Francisco and the people. I used to go out there. I made sure on all my tours that I was booked into San Francisco. And I would go out and spend about 3 days there walking and did this first San Francisco marathon. Now, no, I'm fully capable, as you might imagine, of taking care of myself. I grew up tough, and I wouldn't walk the streets now, because I don't care how well-informed you are how to defend yourself. If someone's got a gun, and there are three people, one of them's got a knife, you've got trouble. So now, unless you live in a very small area, and you have your own private police force, then you take a risk. But remember, I was warning you about all this happening, and that's when I said, start looking for safer places to live. They're safer states because the body politic has not been corrupted. And as a result, if the body politic is honoring your needs and your family's needs, those are the states to move into. And there are a lot of those states, and a lot of beautiful places to live, and safe places where quality of life can be maintained. New York is not one and will not be one in the future. I do not see in your lifetime that changing, because too much has been done to destroy the infrastructure. What makes a city unique is small businesses, it's large businesses, it's people, and the professions who prosper in that. And that's no longer New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Atlanta, Chicago, Philadelphia, St. Louis, and Baltimore, and Washington, D.C. Just a heads up, but I needed to hear from someone else. Pay attention. Now, we're going to skip the Hollywood one now because it's a little long, and I'm going to go over now to medical journals are being deleted. This is important because this doctor, regular board-certified doctor, but he was treating people with ivermectin and other FDA-approved off-label drugs and saving their lives. For that, they went after his medical license. So now he's going to tell you about how corrupt science has become. All of it. Let's go to that clip, please. Medical journals are being deleted.
Over the last 3 years, we have together talked about a lot of issues. We have talked about masks and modeling. We have talked about lockdowns and social distancing. We have talked about vaccines and mandates. We have talked about parental rights and a whole lot of other things, including natural immunity, herd immunity, and what happened in nursing homes. Those issues will continue to be discussed, as well they should, but I need to sound the alarm. I read medical journals all the time. And two articles that had an odd connection over the last week came across my desk. First, Chris Mazzolini, editorial director of Medical Economics, has an article about a book written by Wendy Dean, a physician, who talks about physician moral.
You talk about
injury.
Richard Gale?
Yes.
You
might
ask yourself, I actually have Richard and Luann on the lines.
Dr. Wendy Dean says that moral injury is this sense of feeling as if you're betrayed by somebody in a position of authority in a high-stakes situation. And that situation causes you to transgress your deeply held moral beliefs and expectations. And in medicine, those beliefs and expectations are the oaths that we took to put our patients first. This is what's happening to physicians when we feel that people in authority who we thought had our back and were doing the right thing, that they controlled us and didn't perform. And that caused us to potentially compromise our commitment to our patients. That has happened across the land, across the globe. Let's turn to the second article. An article in Jazz Shaw called "The Medical Field is Erasing Its Own COVID Era History." Here's what it says. Pfizer and the rest of the big pharma companies assured the government that everything was just fine with the vaccines because they had been doing super serious testing. And the government dutifully reported the cheerful news to us, while using all of that data to impose lockdowns, mask mandates, and immunity passport systems. And now, according to one group that tracks publications in scientific journals, a lot of the original research and test results are mysteriously disappearing. More than 300 papers and scientific articles have vanished in the past year.
Okay. This has never happened in American history. If they think that they will not be held accountable for promoting misinformation and corruption of the science that they're representing, they're mistaken. We've kept all of those articles. Now, we're going to do a short clip, and it's going to be a very short clip. There's a PhD, Dr. Jessica Rose. She has an outstanding science background, and she is interviewing a Kevin McKernan, McKernan. He is with Medical Genomics. He is one of America's leading authorities on gene therapy. And if you remember, 2 days ago, I played you a short clip that was very scientific, and I knew most people wouldn't understand all of it. But what he said that was important was that he was reporting that a group of scientists, and that group of scientists was headed by Kevin McKernan, that they had discovered where you should only, by European and American standards of science, allow 0.03% of human DNA in a vaccine, that they were finding 24% human DNA in a vaccine.
Gary, that clip's not ready. It'll be ready tomorrow. We have to record it on a recorder.
Okay. I'm not going to play you the clip today because it's just too scientific. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to take it as Richard Gale, who also has a deep background in genomics and gene therapies, to explain, Richard, why should people be concerned that right now, because of these group of scientists and spreading this information, but none of it in the mainstream media, they have found 1,000 times more human DNA in the vaccine, and even found descriptions of how Pfizer made its vaccines. Why should we be concerned? Give us the short answer, please.
Yeah, it was actually 35% of the DNA material was found, or genetic material, 35% of it was DNA, rather than we've always been thinking in terms of RNA. That is 1,000 times higher than what is permitted in any kind of a biological or drug or biological therapy for human conception. Now, this DNA, in addressing this, I can address it, you know, as just plain DNA or as viral DNA. And here we're looking at the viral DNA because the person you, Dr. Trozzi, who I think you played yesterday, he made reference to the presence of an SV40 virus, and that's a DNA virus. So the majority of your viruses are RNA viruses. But they pose very different risks than DNA viruses. None of the RNA viruses, except for one, the HTLV, that's the human T-cell lymphotropic virus, is associated with a cancer. You know, flu, coronaviruses, adenoviruses, Coxsackie virus, all these kind of respiratory viruses, they're not associated with cancers at all. And yet we are witnessing this, the people in remission and then all of a sudden they get ending up with full-blown cancer after these vaccines. And DNA could contribute to that. The main difference being that, viral DNA is more stable than RNA.
Hold on a second, Richard. Maybe. You're going technical on this, Richard. I just need a simple answer. Should people be concerned that all of this 1,000 times more human DNA is now in their body through the vaccines? Is there potential for some serious consequences?
Yes, because DNA can be integrated into your host cell's genome or the chromosome much more easily than RNA can. And therefore, it will disrupt your normal cellular processes. It can more rapidly contribute to mutations once it's integrated into your cell's DNA, and that is what's can contribute to various types of cancers. And the other thing being, just as in the SV40 or like herpes virus or cytomegalovirus and human papillomavirus, HPV, these are all DNA viruses.
And as we know, they can remain dormant a very long time before you begin witnessing all of a sudden like a glioma, a brain tumor, or and these have been associated like with your osteosarcomas, you know, your bone cancers, prostate cancer. As I mentioned, it's the different brain types of brain tumors. In the case of SV40, that antigen can actually go into men's sperm and therefore be actually transmitted. Okay.
Okay. We're running out of time. Real quick, I heard the scientists in this longer conversation, but it was very difficult to listen to because the guy actually had a jackhammer working in the room above him, this scientist. But I understood him to say that with this new discovery, it's entirely possible that this could change how the spike protein is created, and you could suddenly start to have spike protein created constantly in your body, and that would mean a person's body would simply collapse at some point from autoimmune reactions to the vaccine that would not stop the spike protein. That's because
the DNA can be integrated into your cells, like your gut biome, for example, all the bacteria in your gut that we all have, but it could be integrated into the nucleus of the cell where the DNA is, and integrated into your cell's DNA much more easily than RNA can.
And this gentleman, being interviewed by Jessica Rose, who discovered all this, who has a deep background in this, as deep as anyone in the United States, he said we should be very concerned. And I've been telling this audience, the worst is not behind us. The worst is ahead of us. Because if you have suddenly unleashed a biological agent that is capable of taking over your own cells, something they said was not possible, but now we're seeing is possible, and they didn't tell us that there was 1,000 times more of this than what is supposed to be allowed, 0.03, and now they got 1,000, you say 34% more. That's really bad because we have no idea of all the hell they're unleashing. Though tomorrow I'm going to play a clip from a group of American scientists and physicians who said that now they're seeing turbo cancers, a term we've never used in American history, where cancer suddenly exploding throughout the body and no therapy is able to really stop them. And they don't know why this is happening. The only thing they all have in common is they all got the vaccines. Thank you very much, Richard Gale. We appreciate it. More on that coming, and we'll do a longer segment with the person. Richard is reaching out to the person that made the discovery, who's an expert in the field. So we will have a whole lay presentation on if you got vaccinated, what could likely happen. And to finish off our program, we have Lou Ann Panisi on the line. Hi, Lou Ann. Hi, Lou Ann, you're on.
Hello? Yes. Hi. Yeah, I want to give a shout out to you. I wanted to give someone an opportunity to see if they're interested in coming down to the villa here in Texas and doing some grounds work. I'm looking for someone that knows how to work farm equipment, tractors, zero turn, lawn mowers, other power tools, someone who knows landscaping, who can help keep our grounds looking pristine. You're in a beautiful bucolic environment with the villa. You're in a beautiful room. There's a pool. There's a full gym. And I'm looking for someone to live on property who would be interested in helping us out. It's hard work, but it's also very rewarding. And
they
when
get
people
a, they
come
get
for
a,
the retreat.
They get a salary. Yeah. They don't pay rent or utilities. And they can use the facilities, but they now this is unusual because in the 12 years that this has been going on at the villa, you've always hired local people. So I'm not going to ask you now why you decided not to hire local people, but invite someone from the audience who might have those skills, being able to use chainsaws and trimmers and zero turn mowers. But okay, and give them your phone number if they'd like to give you a call.
Sure, call 903-881-7008. That's 903-881-7008. Give me a call, and I'd love to hear from your audience.
Good. And in the interim, We're talking with people who want to come to the Health Nutrition Retreat, which is a fundraiser for our sister station, WBAI, 1 or 2 weeks in the middle of September. And so if people are interested, it's going to be a wonderful opportunity because people can relax. We have a lot of silent places. We have inspiring lectures. We have people who are really good at doing workshops. Everyone was praising the workshops on stress management, overcoming depression and anxiety, and the meaning. I did workshops on the meaning and purpose of life, and 26 of them, and great food, juicing, cleansing, detoxifying, yoga, power walking, gym work, and silent time and green time and blue time. So if that's up in your agenda of trying it, then give Luann a call. Luann, give me your number one more time.
Yes, it's 903-881-7008. That's 903-881-7008.
Good. Okay. Well, that's it for today. We didn't get to everything I wanted to get to. We'll get to those and some other things tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone, and stay tuned. I don't know if Utrice is live. Is Utrice live today?
No.
No? Okay. Well, she has her new house, apartment, being worked on, so she's probably in the midst of some of that debris and noise, and I can understand. So as soon as she has got that cleaned up, she'll be back live. Over to Utrice's show now.